Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. We have two articles for you this morning, both from the December issue of Share International. The first concerning regenerative farming and the benefits from a Nicaraguan model, and the second about a group of Israeli women who call themselves Women Wage Peace. At present, as the climate heats up, we are faced with a need to restore our earth to health, and globally there are issues of food production and forced migration. So this article is called How Regenerative Food and Farming Can Reverse Rural Poverty and Forced Migration in the Americas. It's written by co-founder and international director of the Organic Consumers Association. One of the most politically charged debates today, especially in the US and Europe, is the so-called immigration crisis. There are approximately 250 million migrants in the world today. That's 3% of the world's 7.6 billion people. About 20% of that 3%, or 47 million, live in the US. Another 35 million live in Europe. Hard-working immigrants who are lacking citizenship or working papers in the US pay billions of dollars in taxes, strengthen immigrant and low-income communities, and send back billions of dollars in remittances to their families and home communities each year. They often work several jobs, providing a major boost to the US economy, especially in the farm, food processing, restaurant, healthcare, and construction sectors, where work is hard and the pay low. At the recent regional summit on migrants and returnees in Guatemala, October 2017, a new and promising solution to the global immigration crisis emerged: the creation of local grassroots-powered economic development projects based on regenerative food farming and land use practices. Regenerative food and farming is the new gold standard for climate and environmentally friendly agriculture and land use across the world. An increasing number of food and farming leaders have described regenerative agriculture as the next stage of organic food and farming. Regenerative practices are essentially enhanced organic and permaculture production methods, which exclude pesticides, GMO seeds, and factory farming techniques. Regenerative practices focus on improving soil health, water retention, and rainfall conservation, on using crop rotation, agroforestry, and planned rotational grazing, with the intention of gathering excess carbon from the atmosphere. A growing number of regenerative farms and ranches worldwide are demonstrating how farmers and herders can restore soil health, improve food nutrition, increase yields, while at the same time strengthening local food systems and traditional practices, empowering women and youth, and restoring or enhancing community food security, and seed saving and small-scale animal husbandry is included in that. Participants at the Migrant Summit in Guatemala discussed how a grassroots-powered grant or loan program of cross-border financing supported by immigrants, returnees, citizens, and local municipalities could potentially provide resources for a major transformation of the region's food, farming and land use practices. Leaders of the newly formed alliance, Regeneration Guatemala, explained that the restoration of soil carbon and fertility, water conservation, including rain catchment, utilisation of organic and grain production, agroforestry and regenerative livestock, particularly poultry, could make Guatemala an agricultural leader in the region. By generating Guatemala's regenerating Guatemala's agricultural system, the country could eventually supply its 16 million people with affordable, high-quality, nutrient-dense food and also provide employment and much-needed economic development in the countryside and urban areas, where poverty and crime are major drivers of forced migration. Guatemala is predominantly rural, indigenous and an agricultural nation, similar to others in Africa, Asia and the Middle East, where forced migration has become a critical issue. 67% of Guatemalans come from rural communities where poverty, malnutrition and environmental degradation are the norm. And this includes 2 million Guatemalan immigrants in the US, three-quarters of those of whom are potentially subject to deportation by Trump's administration. A similar situation throughout the region has driven millions of Mexicans and people from Salvador and the Honduras over the past few decades into forced exile into the US and Canada. As participants at the summit stressed over and over again, many of their compatriots in forced exile in the north would be happy to return to families and home communities if only there were jobs and social stability. Over 1,500 assembled delegates applauded enthusiastically when speakers pointed out that Guatemala's so-called Green Revolution, which includes the heavy use of toxic pesticides, chemical fertilizers and monocrop production, including GMOs and the agro-export model, has had a disastrous effect on their home communities and nations. The reaction was the same when speakers talked about the junk food, fast food model, which is represented by Coca-Cola, McDonald's, KFC and Burger King, and the so-called free trade agreements, including NAFTA and the Central American Free Trade Agreement. Conference attendees, representing a broad cross-section of indigenous communities, small farmers, agricultural co-ops, students, church activists, migrants' rights advocates, and immigrants who have returned or been deported from the US, enthusiastically endorsed the idea of using traditional and regenerative agriculture practices to restore food security, public health, climate stability and rural prosperity in the impoverished zones of Mexico and Central America, where forced migration has become the norm. Developing pilot regenerative agricultural systems, such as the Regenerative Poultry Project throughout the US and Mexico, can bring about a revolution of ideas and a flow of capital into impoverished rural communities where so-called Green Revolution chemical and energy-intensive farming practices have failed abysmally. Attendees responded enthusiastically to the idea that communities could band together and raise the seed money for a new, healthy, climate-friendly and economically viable system of food and farming. Guatemalan migrants in the US already send back close to $7 billion a year to families and home communities, twice the amount of money that Guatemalan exporters receive for all of their exports of products such as coffee and bananas. Migrants from Salvador send back a similar amount, while Mexican migrants have sent back more than $70 billion to home communities this year alone. Channeling a strategic percentage of these remittances into community-based regenerative agriculture projects, along with pressuring local and federal governments to match these migrant remittances, could not only restore hope and vitality to these rural communities, but also dramatically reduce the number of forced migrants. Now, even Donald Trump's fans of mass deportation might agree with this type of cross-border bootstrap financing for local economic development. As explained to the conference during the final plenary session, regenerative agriculture is not some new invention by organic farmers and ranchers. It's an adaption of ancient farming practices such as the traditional Mayan system of agroforestry, multi-crop farming, natural composting, and holistic poultry and livestock management. A form of what is now called regenerative organic agriculture was practiced over thousands of years ago by Mayan and indigenous peoples throughout the Americas. The Mayans survived and thrived in harmony with the earth, without pesticides, chemical fertilizers, GMOs, or concentrated animal confinement. They fed themselves while also maintaining a proper balance between CO2 in the atmosphere and carbon in the soil and forests. Our mission today as regenerators throughout the world is to recapture, re-establish and scale up these traditional practices. We must modify them to match the specific ecological and marketplace conditions in our local areas and regions in this manner, and we can regenerate the soil, dramatically improve yields and food quality, restore public health, eliminate the pressures that cause forced migration in the first place, and last and certainly not least, draw down and sequester excess carbon from the atmosphere to reverse global warming and climate disruption. Beyond the still utopian dream of open borders, Guatemalans and indigenous communities have begun discussing in practical terms what we can do right now to mitigate and eventually put a halt to forced migration. We have to change the discussion from walls and deportation to one of cross-border solidarity and regeneration. And those last words were from native-born Guatemalan Reginaldo Haslett Mariquin, who works at the Minnesota-based Main Street Project and Regeneration International. And we're currently having a bit of a conversation like that in New Zealand with our intensive dairy farming, which we've found to be somewhat detrimental to the environment in the long term. The next article, our last article, is about Israeli women who are challenging the status quo. Women Wage Peace, WWP, is a grassroots movement of Israeli women of different ethnic, social, political, religious and geographic backgrounds whose goal it is to reach an honourable and bilaterally acceptable political agreement of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. In their own words, the movement was born out of deep despair and cynicism following the July 2014 military operation launched by Israel in the Gaza Strip. And that was known as Operation Protective Edge. The result was devastation to large parts of the Gaza Strip with many casualties on both sides. The movement has 28,000 members in Israel, with an additional 50,000 supporters worldwide. WWP regularly organises activities to put pressure on the leaders of Israel and Palestine to work towards a viable peace agreement. Shireen Tales interviewed Vivian Silva, a member of Women Wage Peace Central Committee. What are some of the activities you undertake to bring awareness to your cause? First of all, we are not a hierarchical movement. It's a flat organisational structure run entirely by volunteers. We are divided into 18 professional teams and 60 geographical areas. We're trying to grow the movement so we become a critical mass of people who will then be able to impact on politicians and our government. We run parlor meetings in different cities. As I say, we have 60 geographical areas, so each area runs its own meetings. Where we have shown Abigail Disney's movie Pray the Devil Back to Hell, a movie about the role of women in Liberia ending their civil war. And we hold discussions about the similarities and differences. We use it as a motivational film to get women to be active and to say if they could do it under their terrible conditions there, surely we can do it here too. Every month on a Thursday afternoon, we will stand at junctions in Israel throughout the country. We stand at about 80 junctions or in shopping centres holding our signs that show the big three when they made the original peace agreement between Egypt and Israel. And that's Jimmy Carter, Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin. The image shows that this is not a partisan issue because Begin was a right-wing prime minister from a very right-wing government. And that's our message. This is not a left-wing movement. It's not a movement that covers all political strands because peace is an overriding issue for everybody. You can be religious, secular, you can be right-wing, left-wing, mainstream, or you can be a Russian immigrant or an Ethiopian immigrant or native-born. This is an issue that speaks to everyone. We are also at the Parliament every Monday, and our geographical teams take the responsibility for who is going to be there. We are at the plenum at the Knesset, the local parliament, the Israeli parliament, and we have become very well known as a peace movement that they can't ignore. When we are in the parliament, we participate in committee meetings and we participate in the plenum, and the politicians who address the parliament have addressed us as well. They know us well as we dress in white with turquoise scarves and are very visible wherever we go. Has your group had an impact on the peace process so far? On the actual peace process, not yet, but politicians have said that we have made it legitimate once again to talk about peace and to envision hope and rattle the status quo. That is to say that the paradigm we have been taught for 70 years that only war will bring peace is clearly not true. And so we are changing the paradigm to say only a political agreement will bring security. Security is an existential need for all of us, whether we are Jewish, Arab, Muslim, Christian, or Palestinian, or Israeli. Everybody in the world needs to feel secure. Being women, our concept of security is broader than just defence. We are talking about human sustainable security in education, welfare, employment and economics. So security has to be looked at in a much broader fashion. To what do you attribute the movement's success? We are a pragmatic movement as opposed to ideological. Most peace movements remain very small because they stick to a very narrow ideology and so splinter a much larger peace group. We decided from the beginning that we are one issue movement and we are not going to advocate any political situation because it really doesn't matter. As long as it's bilateral and accepted by both sides, it will by definition be an honourable agreement for both sides. And that was just a very brief extract of the article. If you want more, you can go to womenwagepeace.org. And that's it for today. If you'd like more information, 34491 Birkenhead or www.share-international.org. Love and blessings all.